Chapter 6. Kelsey's stomach rumbled as she approached the city's principal nursing home for the elderly. Homeless, sleep-deprived, and still bearing a black eye from Stacy's elbow, she crossed the brick driveway. It wasn't a place she'd ever visited before, but it promised hot food, empty beds, and low security.
"Good morning, miss. Can I help you?"
"It's madam, actually," snapped Kelsey. It was still her 18th birthday. She wasn't expecting cards or flowers, but people were damned well going to start recognizing her as an adult. The receptionist's face soured.
"We are unburdened," said the woman,
bowing her head with the formal greeting.
"May we use it well," said Kelsey, bowing in return.
It was the first time she'd ever invoked the ministry blessing legitimately. The recognition that came with it felt good, although as the receptionist glared at her, Kelsey made a mental note to be less cranky in how she extracted respect from people. After all, she needed to charm the woman if she was going to get inside. And right now, charm was even more of a stretch than usual, given that she'd just spent the night in a blindingly bright infinity chamber and was now functionally homeless. As if sensing Kelsey's ruminations, suspicion crept across the receptionist's face.
"So, madam, who are you here to visit?"
My aunt.
"Does your aunt have a name?"
It's Agnes.
"You'll need to be a little more specific than that, ma'am. We've got multiple Agni here."
Agnes Latherly, stumbled Kelsey. She was far off her A-game. Brazening into places was usually her forte, yet this was not going well.
"Sorry, ma'am, but we don't have any residents by that name."
Then try Agnes Maples. It's her maiden name. The secretary nodded with a venomous smile and scanned the index.
"Alas, no one by that name either."
Maybe it wasn't Agnes after all. Maybe it was Julie?" The receptionist beckoned Kelsey closer, glancing around with a conspiratorial flash.
"I get it, hon," she whispered. "You're cold, you're hungry, you're just looking for a bit of warmth and comfort."
Kelsey's heart fluttered in panic, but the woman was smiling at her softly.
It's only temporary. If there's anything you can do,"
stammered Kelsey, regretting her initial rudeness.
"Of course, sweetie. I can call the manager over and have you barred from the premises. Or I can call the police and have you arrested for fraudulent trespass. Which would you like me to do first?"
The secretary's smile tightened, her pupils narrowing as the venom crept back into her face. Kelsey leaned back from the desk. Glaring at the woman, she backed away with her hands raised. Turning performatively, she waltzed to the exit, taking care to trip into a fragile vase of daffodils on her way out. Ignoring the receptionist's fading consternation, Kelsey marched around the side of the complex, livid. The gall of that woman, speaking to her like that. Outrageous. As she trudged, she cursed her sleep-deprived mind for making such rookie errors. She'd broken rule number one of bluffing entry to anywhere, project confidence at all times, and never show weakness. The nursing home was a grand complex, like a stately home on steroids. The red-bricked mansion was situated in a sweeping woodland estate, overlooking luscious trees, a duck pond large enough to be a lake, and an array of ornate water features. Kelsey skirted the building, searching for the goods entrance. Sure enough, after a few quirky annexes and extensions, she found a metal door propped open with a pair of kitchen porters leaning against it, smoking.
"Morning, chaps. I'm late. I know. My bad. Long story," said Kelsey, ignoring their puzzled looks and brazening her way inside. Not hesitating for a moment, she marched down the corridor, being sure to continue forwards without so much as flinching in case the pair were watching. The key, she reminded herself, was to always look like you knew where you were going, like you had some place to be. Unfortunately for Kelsey, keeping up this facade meant continuing straight past the kitchens, where a tantalizing scent of lunch wafted into the corridor. She could double back later, she assured her rumbling stomach. She just had to find a place to lay low first, a store cupboard or a residence room, then take it from there. The corridor ended in a T-junction with no signs.
Kelsey swept right, sincerely hoping she wasn't making a beeline for the management office. A pair of voices reverberated from around a corner headed her way. Kelsey diverted swiftly through the first doorway she found. As the door clicked shut behind her, she immediately regretted her choice. The sight that greeted her was a far cry from the nursing home pamphlets, and definitely not something the public were ever expected to see. A warehouse stretched before her, several football pitches deep. Floor to ceiling, it was lined with row upon row of bunks, each illuminated by caged overhead light bulbs. The bunks were crammed in, with only enough space for a person to squeeze between side on. Each bunk held an iron lung, a large cylindrical chamber of pressurized air roughly 4 feet across and 6 feet long. Every machine seemed to breathe in sync, filling the hall with an echoing mechanical wheeze. Poking out of the ends of each cylinder were pairs of bare feet of all sizes. The voices from the corridor behind her were getting closer. With no choice, Kelsey squeezed between the berths and weaved her way further into the strange warehouse. She didn't have time to marvel at the thousands of sleeping heads poking out of the cylinders all around her. She had to hide before she got busted. The door to the warehouse swung open, and two workers entered, followed by an automaton. The workers wore purple scrubs and were carrying buckets and rags, each with a towel slung over their shoulder. They squeezed their way past the unconscious, wheezing bodies, stopping a few rows ahead of Kelsey's hiding place.
"This is us today. Stack 9, row 11, berth CC through CX," declared one, checking a roster.
"You heard her," said the other to the automaton.
The machine clicked its head from one worker to the other, then glided to a nearby control panel. Kelsey cowered lower as it approached, cursing herself for not spotting the interface when she'd picked her space to hide. There was something unusual about the automaton's appearance. Whereas ministry machines were usually near spotless, this one had a blemish in its bodywork. A blue stain dappled half of its brass forehead, stretching down its cheek to taint patches of the enamel discs on its jaw and neck. It looked like a chemical spill or a birthmark, incongruous on the otherwise immaculate machine. From the scratch marks around its face, it looked like there had been numerous attempts to erase the stain. The tainted automaton punched in a series of commands, then tilted its head upward. Kelsey followed its gaze. Her mouth dropped as the entire stack of berths in front of her rotated from ceiling to floor, like the shelves in a supermarket reordering themselves. The berths clicked into their new position, and the worker sidled up to the nearest pair.
"Time to hold your breath," chuckled the first.
The metal cylinders clicked open like steel coffins, revealing skeletal thin bodies inside each. The workers placed oxygen masks over their wards, then set about sponging the exposed bodies clean.
"How old do you reckon this one is?"
"Dunno. 100, maybe?"
"Nah, it's gotta be more. Look at the toenails."
"Ugh. I hope you're planning on trimming those."
"Not my job, amigo. I sponge. It's someone else's job to trim."
"Ooh, my one's got a tattoo."
"No way. Your person's a transfer."
"What?"
"They're from the old facility. It's where this crusty lot were kept before this place was built."
"This place is, like, super old."
"Right?"
"Damn," whistled the worker. "So this brother's got to be a solid 2?
"At least."
"There's nothing to him. Dude's just skin and bone."
"Stick around as long as this fella, and let's see how you look,"
chuckled the other, returning to their patient. Kelsey peered out from her berth, determined to glimpse the ancient human inside it. The man was naked, and of tiny childlike stature, save for the copious amount of wiry pubic hair and wrinkles. His skin had turned pale gray in the chamber, and was so loose he resembled a lump of elephant hide more than a human. Kelsey's eyes tracked the tubes affixed to the man's stomach, one in, one out. Each led to a chemical tank on either side of the man's berth. As her stomach rumbled, she turned to the berth immediately beside her. The tubes passed through small perforations in the hull, connecting the person inside to the tanks on the outside. The external chemical tanks were themselves plumbed into a broader network of pipes spanning the entire warehouse. Kelsey traced the two fluid tubes. One was clear, presumably the feeder tube, while the other was murky brown, presumably the soil pipe. Placing a hand against the feeder, she twisted the tube away from its tank. Clear liquid trickled onto the floor below. The pitter-patter was masked by the mechanical wheezing of the hall and the worker's own sloshing in the rows ahead. Placing her tongue against the tank, Kelsey gulped in the nutrient-rich fluid.
"Ugh!"
she cried, spluttering and retching across the floor. The liquid was utterly rancid.
"What was that?"
said a worker sharply.
"I think someone's in here,"
replied the other. A set of purple scrubs weaved swiftly towards her.
"Hey, you there! What are you doing in here?"
Kelsey sprang from her hiding place, launching herself into the row behind, but the automaton was gliding across to intercept her. The pair were closing in like pincers, while the other human covered her original entry point. With no other option, Kelsey ducked and weaved further into the giant warehouse. As she randomly punched buttons on each control panel she passed, setting off mechanical conveyor belts in all directions. Rows of tubed, sleeping humans descended from the ceiling, while others shifted horizontally like a baggage carousel. The workers cursed her, demanding she stop running as they tried to pick their way through the mechanical assault course. Spotting a doorway up ahead, Kelsey dived through it. Still retching from the fluid, she stumbled forwards, pushing through two more sets of doors until she found herself bursting into the center of a grand atrium. It was radically different to the warehouse from which she'd just come. This was a beautiful conservatory, with a high glass ceiling, chandeliers, and a regal carpet. Hundreds of elderly residents filled the splendid parlor which overlooked the lake. Some snoozed in the luxurious armchairs, while others sat about talking, knitting, or selecting delicacies from the tea trolleys being wheeled by automatons. Kelsey straightened up, hastily smoothing her appearance. Suppressing the nausea, she pressed on, smiling politely at the elderly onlookers as she raked her sweaty hair into place. An automaton twitched, as if detecting her incongruously fast movements in the soporific parlor. She slowed to an agonizing shuffle. Her pursuers could burst into the room at any moment, and every instinct was telling her to run. But if she triggered the automatons in here, the game would be up. She had to hold her nerve. The machine relaxed and continued serving tea to a table of wrinklies, while Kelsey strolled calmly through the chamber, searching for some place to hide. If these residents were here, she reasoned, then their bedrooms must be unoccupied right now. It would be a start. From there, she might find one that's totally unoccupied. The mahogany doors up ahead swept open. Two automatons glided in backwards, wheeling refreshment trolleys with them. Kelsey pivoted away, knowing she couldn't risk a direct confrontation. As slowly as she dared to move, she altered course, keeping her head held high in an attempt to project entitlement. A humbler pinewood door beckoned. She was yards away from it.
"Stop her! Hey!" came a cry from behind.
The worker in purple scrubs had burst into the parlor. All eyes fell on Kelsey as ripples of unease spread across the residence. Kelsey darted through the pine doorway and immediately scaled the flight of stairs before her. She bounded upwards, taking them three at a time until she was two stories up. She emerged, breathless, into an elegant corridor lined with striped wallpaper and oil paintings. It resembled the accommodation level of a luxury hotel. There was no time to admire the decor. The workers' shouts echoed from the stairwell, joined by other voices in the mushrooming search party. Rushing across the corridor, Kelsey tried door after door, but they were all locked. She rattled the handles desperately as her pursuers' voices grew louder. As the stairwell burst open, so too clicked the door in her hand. Kelsey dived inside, sealing it behind her. She leaned against it, breathless, trying to listen over her thumping heart.
"Which one did she go into?"
"How should I know? I was behind you."
"God damn it. Fetch the master key."
Kelsey crept back from the door, thinking fast. Going door to door, it would only take them a few minutes to find her. If they chased her again, there was no way she had the energy left to outrun them. She wasn't after an exit strategy. She needed a hiding place, a good one, somewhere she could bed down and recover. Kelsey peered at the elderly woman sleeping beside her, who was rigged up to feeding tubes, but not a respirator. Kelsey snatched the footnotes and skimmed them. The woman was comatose, apparently. Was this one of the many Agneses here? Her chart bore no name, It merely said, Ministry Aware. Lying across from the woman's bed was a tray on stilts bearing an untouched bowl of porridge. Still reeling from the rancid warehouse fluid, Kelsey leaned over and took a cautious spoonful. It was cold, but delicious. She scoffed the lot down in seconds, feeding her ravenous appetite. As her brain danced with endorphins, she briefly forgot all about the workers tracking her down, until the door handle dropped down with a click. Kelsey froze, clutching the empty bowl to her chest. She was ready to throw it if needed. A brass hand pushed the door open, and the automaton glided in. The blue stain across its face was even more prominent in the patient's room. The machine lingered in the threshold, looking from Kelsey to the bowl and back.
You found anything yet?
Came a call.
Nope, you,
came the reply. Doors slammed in the corridor as the workers closed in. The automaton gazed at Kelsey for a moment, then retreated, closing the door. Kelsey listened closely as the workers passed by. Sighing with relief and unable to explain what the hell had just happened, Kelsey slumped against the wall and closed her eyes, exhausted. Perhaps she was safe for a few more hours. A tap at the door jolted her awake. Her neck was cramped from sleeping in a squat. The door rattled once again. Kelsey froze, watching fearfully as the handle clicked down. The tainted automaton glided in with a lunch tray, placing it before her. Kelsey accepted it, suspiciously.
Thanks?
The automaton stared blankly at her. The machine was definitely weirding her out. She'd never known one to behave this way before. But the scent of hot food clawed at her nostrils, swiftly dispelling her misgivings. Kelsey perched at the foot of the woman's bed and shoveled the mashed potato, gravy, and tagine into her mouth. Food spattered her clothes and the sheets around her, but she was too hungry to care, devouring the lot within seconds. As Kelsey set the fork down with a satisfied clatter, a portly man appeared in the doorway, flanked by an imperious-looking woman. Kelsey jumped up, startled. The automaton seemed indifferent to the human's arrival and stayed gazing at her from the doorway. The two humans barged past it, cursing the lump of metal.
Damned machine, look, it's brought her food.
I'm sick of this thing. It's been defective since day one. Send it back to the ministry. We'll well do in exchange, snapped the woman.
She stepped before Kelsey and glared at her sternly.
And you are?
I'm here to see my...
Drop the act, kid. I wasn't born yesterday.
I'm not a kid,
snapped Kelsey.
Excellent. In which case, I'll be calling the police. Bernard, apprehend the intruder.
Yes, boss, grunted the man.
Wait, yelled Kelsey. I have a proposal.